This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, Eddie Pasca.
All right, we're back in Indy, official Raider podcast. Special guest today, Robert Klemko, stopped by to come hang out with us. Appreciate you stealing a couple minutes for us.
Always a pleasure. I just want this helmet when I leave. I just want that as a parting gift.
We'll see what we can do. We'll see. I don't know if that one's in the budget. But so we early this afternoon, Raiders Niners coin flip. Obviously lost the coin flip for number 9, number 10. But I think that like that kind of just shows like what a spectacle this thing has become. I mean, we're sitting here in the NFL Combine experience, and everything that the league has done, I feel like is turning, it's like must-see TV now, kind of.
Well, and just the fact that, you know, I think about the fact that they televised the bench press, and you've got 100 scouts over there watching dudes bench press. So you necessarily have two or three guys from every team to see this drill that, you know, you don't really learn anything about the players. And I just feel like so much resources are pumped into the draft now, and there are so many more jobs than there were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, to try to ensure that, you know, you end up picking the right guy. And it's still such an inexact science. Teams still, you know, bust on a top 10 pick.
Yeah, it's crazy. So one of the things that in reading you, one of the things I really like about your writing and what you kind of do is you kind of off the beaten path a little bit, right? I'm not going to get the profile on the number one pick and do the boring kind of that thing. So what have you really been focused on here in Indy, and what's kind of stood out to you? Take me through.
Yeah, so, you know, I was told a long time ago, write the quarterback. And so what we wanted to do this year was take a quarterback prospect that everybody argues about, that nobody knows where he's going to be picked, and do like a scouting report. So I've been writing Baker Mayfield, and that kind of, you know, that's a high profile guy, so it's not really off the beaten path. But the idea is to write about him in a way that a scout would research him. So I've just been talking to people about all things Baker Mayfield pretty much this week. You know, the other thing that kind of interests me is, along those same lines, how teams get players to talk about their teammates, right? And so a lot of these 15-minute interviews, the team will get a guy, and then they'll say, tell me everything about your teammate so-and-so, because who they're really looking at is that buddy. And the one thing they ask these guys is, if you could take one player with you to the NFL, to your new team, who would it be? And the player always says three or four guys, right? And then they say, no, you actually have to tell us one guy, one name. And if you're looking at a quarterback, you know, you want everybody on that team to say the quarterback's name.
So going back to Baker Mayfield for a second, so we're obviously, the Broncos are high draft pick, and he's one of those teams that is kind of looks like they might be in the mix for a guy like him.
So could be a divisional opponent.
Exactly, so a guy we're going to see two times a year for probably in 10, 12 years, right? So you spent a lot of time with Baker. What is he really good at, right? What is kind of the short list of things that he does really well?
Well, you know, I watched some film with Daryl Bevel, the former Seahawks offensive coordinator, on Baker, just to know and kind of figure out what NFL coaches who don't scout these guys all year long are looking for when they finally turn on the film around February and March. And I think that what he's so special at is the ability to create with his eyes downfield. And that's what he has in common with Russell Wilson. And that's what he doesn't have in common with Johnny Manziel. So people make that Manziel comparison, right? But Johnny was so much more of a scrambler than he was a passer. Whereas Baker, constantly going through his progressions, and just has this innate ability to feel pass rushers around him and get away from them. So that was my big takeaway, that I think the height is not an issue for him just because he has such great pocket presence and awareness.
So obviously everything here is about the prospects. You know, like you said, what are they benching? How big the quarterback's hand size are? All that jazz. But for us, the first part of this week was very, very John Gruden heavy.
Yeah.
And obviously have a rock star head coach now. You see him walking around. He has the entourage. He has a presence about him. And as a guy who covers the league, what is having a guy like Gruden out of the booth and back on the sidelines mean for the league?
Well, I think it's a tremendous thing from a business perspective, especially when you have, the Raiders moving from Oakland to Las Vegas. I think that he's an enormous draw for, you know, would-be season ticket holders in Las Vegas, right? So I think it's an awesome move business-wise. I think that he has this unique experience, and John Lynch sort of got the same deal, where he was able to survey coaches for the last 10 years and GMs in these off-the-record sessions before games and sort of formulate a plan to come back to the NFL and do things a little bit differently than he did before. So I know that John seems old school, and it seems like he's going back to 1998, but I don't really think that's the case. I think he's learned a great deal about the modern NFL from the job that he had. And John Lynch has been such a success early on as a GM, and he credits a lot of that to what he learned in the TV booth from talking to all these coaches.
You know, one of the things that Gruden said, and he told the organization, all the staff, when he met with them beforehand, and he said it during his press conference as well, but he goes, one of the big reasons I'm coming back here for the city of Oakland. Mm-hmm. He made no bones about it. He said, the city of Oakland is a special place to me. I had a son here. There's always going to be a soft spot in my heart for Oakland. And I think that bringing him in kind of anchors this team to Oakland for a couple more years. Now, obviously not outside the 2020, but it kind of adds another element of that nostalgia feel. But I think it's an exciting thing for the city to have him back where he wants to be before we go off to Vegas.
Yeah, I think it's an awesome thing for the NFL and a great thing for Oakland. You know, it's a little bit bittersweet because they are going to leave. I remember, so my grandmother went to the first Raiders game in 1960. And she's a Raider fan her whole life. And, you know, I kind of had to drop my fanhood to cover the league, right? But she would take me to games in the early 2000s as a high school kid. And we would always stay over at the airport Hilton on Hagenberger.
Yeah.
Where the team, do they still stay there?
They don't stay at that one.
Okay. So they used to stay at the airport Hilton. And we would, you know, look for older players. They'd all be getting breakfast with the coaches. And there was a real sense of community, I think, that you don't really get with a lot of other NFL teams, where the former greats are so heavily involved in the process and so still linked to the organization. The only other place where that's the case is really Green Bay.
I mean, there's something really special, too, about that game day environment in Oakland, too, at the Coliseum. And I don't think there's anyone out there who's going to tell you the Coliseum is the Taj Mahal of NFL stadiums.
Right.
But there is something really unique and very Oakland about going to a game there.
I agree with you. You know, I went to Charles Woodson's last game, and I've covered 6 Super Bowls, and I don't think I was at a more emotional, more exciting football game, you know, in my career than Charles Woodson's last game. And I think it's kind of a tragedy that football is not going to be played there anymore. But you understand why. Like, when you walk through the bowels of the stadium and water's dripping down and hits you in the head, right?
No, it's, yeah. So the Raiders now picking 10, and obviously coming off of a 6-10 season that ultimately cost Jecto Rio's job. And there's so much hype, so much expectation going into last year with this team. You got a healthy Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, who's a year older, Michael Crabtree. You bring in Marshawn Lynch, and the hype of this team was just unreal. And unfortunately, they fell a little bit short. But now, you know, looking ahead now, what do you look at this team, and where do they need to be better in 2018?
You know, I think one of the biggest disappointments of that season was the play of the wide receivers. And I think a lot of people expected Michael Crabtree to be Michael Crabtree and give you 90 catches and 1,000 yards and be the best possession receiver in the NFL. And a lot of people expected Amari Cooper to take that next step and become Megatron, basically, right? But he didn't do that. I think that the most important thing that can happen for the Raiders this offseason is for Carr to get on the same page with those guys. And if the team feels like those guys are going to be inadequate, to go out and get a receiving threat, either at outside receiver, slot receiver, or tight end. And I think tight end is a position that they should really focus on in this draft, and if not in this draft, free agency, because so many of these teams that are having success in the NFL, I mean, you look at the Super Bowl, what those two teams had in common, the biggest thing, I think, was a game-breaking, game-changing tight end. Right? Zach Ertz, Rob Gronkowski, open up the middle of the field, and they draw so much attention that they make receivers who would otherwise you would have never heard of look so good.
You know, Coach Gruden said a couple times since he came back, he said, you know, I think this offense in 2017, he goes, you know, for whatever reason, I think they kind of lost their confidence a little bit. You know, how do you go about rebuilding a confidence? I mean, with a group that's, I mean, you look at them on paper and that's an incredibly talented group, but how do you kind of get that mojo back?
I think it's got to be inspired coaching. You know, it's got to be aggressive play calling. You look at I hate to keep going back to the Eagles, but you look at what they did in the second half of the season after Carson Wentz went down, and they really took on the personality of the head coach. And those guys legitimately believed that they could win a Super Bowl with Nick Foles, right, who only played 3 games in the regular season. So I think that a lot of these teams are going to take that example and run with it and say, we need to be aggressive play callers. We need to demonstrate early on that we have all this confidence in our offense that they're going to deliver.
So I'll get you out of here on this. Since Coach came back, there's obviously been such, you know, such an excitement, such a buzz around this team. And oh, this is the year, Super Bowl or bust. But you look at this team on paper as it stands now, and obviously we have free agency in the draft and all that ahead of us. But what do you think is a realistic expectation for the 2018 Oakland Raiders?
You know, I think the division's wide open because you don't know what kind of player Patrick Mahomes is going to be. You don't know who's going to play quarterback in Denver. So I think a realistic expectation is for them to win the AFC West, you know. I think that their window is going to be pretty big with Phillip Rivers, you know, at the end of his career, a rookie quarterback in Kansas City, so much uncertainty on offense in Denver. So I do think that they have a number of years to really get it right, and that they should have some organizational patience in this coaching staff and in some of these core players. But I think, you know, you're going for 10-6, 11-5. You're looking to win the AFC West. And you know, if I were, you know, a Raiders fan, I would expect this team to be in the AFC Championship game.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Robert Klimko, thanks for coming to hang out. Appreciate your time, man.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Thanks for listening to the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.